This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WNM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. I am the slimmest, the trimmest, your host, Michael Trim Jr. And in today's show, we have some amazing topics. We will discuss FAMU men's basketball's top players entering the transfer portal, Juju Watkins' devastating ACL injury, MLB opening day, and more. But to help me with these topics, I got some great guys in the studio to help.
Yo, what's going on? It's your boy EJ, aka EJR3. Every journey remembered. Let's make some mo.
What's good, everybody? It's your boy E-Class from 904. Elijah Light in the building. How y'all feeling?
What's going on, y'all? It's Jay Lloyd bringing the sauce to the Flavor Station all the way from Stone Mountain, Georgia, man. Let's get it.
All right, fellas. How we feeling today? How we feeling?
I'm feeling great, but I have a question. How far is Stone Mountain? Because you say all the way, it's pretty far.
It's about 4 hours away.
It's not far.
It's far enough.
I'm further than you.
Yeah, whatever.
They're from Miami, right?
You're not bringing no sauce, though.
I'm from Broward.
You say you're not bringing the sauce.
Yeah, but you're a Miami Heat fan.
Yeah.
And y'all are terrible.
Oh, all right.
We'll get into that later. Don't do that.
Let's hop into it, man. FAMU basketball won our first SWAT game in our first year with our new head coach. We thought we had an extension signed, but whew, I guess it's not signed. Sterling Young, Milton Matthews, Caleb Washington, they have all reportedly entered the transfer portal. Three of our key players that helped us get to the SWAC tournament.
Yeah, one SWAC player of the year. Go on.
Could this be the future for FAMU's basketball team and all mid-majors as a whole?
I think it's the future for all, not even mid-majors. I think that's the future for college basketball, period, bro. You find something that you think you can get yourself into a better opportunity, I don't care what season we just had, I'm gone. You heard, it was people in their post-game interviews at the NCAA tournament. Mid-interview, yeah. I'm not going to be here next year. What? Like, you can't.
And what was your reasoning for them not going? Or returning to school, to the same school?
I mean, that's something you gotta ask them.
Do you think it's playtime or you think it's that bag? I think it's the bag.
I probably think it's the bag. Honestly, it gotta be the bag.
Gotta be the bag.
You can always move into a higher role, but that check gonna be the same then.
I guarantee you, players would much rather ride the bench at Duke and make an M a year than start at FAMU and maybe win a SWAC tournament game.
It's sad to say, but it's true.
Because I know I would.
It's the eyes, it's opportunity, really the full package.
Exactly.
And I think that it is going to be the future moving forward, just because you have to really maximize your chances to make basketball work for you in your career. It's not as many opportunities as I would say there are in the NFL or even in baseball. A lot of times in basketball, you have a very slim chance of making it to the league. It's one of the first things they tell you when you start playing the sport. Your odds of making it into the NBA are very, very slim. So whatever you can do to bring more attention and more eyes to yourself, give yourself an opportunity to even make it that far, that's what players are going to be doing.
Only 450 players make it to the NBA.
Yeah, I told my dad I wanted to be an NBA player. He said, make sure you have a backup plan.
I told my mom it was plan A through Z. But here I am recording a podcast. So, you know.
That's crazy.
It wasn't meant for me.
What's crazy. The next letter?
I would have went D1 though, but my injury. But
I would have went D1, but I stopped growing. So
yeah, same. You know,
but ain't no left tackles 5'10".
It's more so. I think it's.
I was a technician though.
Bro, you had to be.
Yeah.
But no, that's for the players though. It's true. It's sad to say, but it's true. It is a mix of eyes, money. But I think to those players though, I think it's also opportunity. I mean, you're not going, if you talk to them, like you talk to someone like Sterling Young, to him it's opportunity. That's what he's gonna tell you. He's not gonna tell you it's about bag.
Oh,
or
for sure.
Like
if you're
that.
A swag player, yeah, definitely.
It's definitely opportunity for some of these players. It's like, well, I'm a better player than this. I have a chance to, play at a level where I'm seen more. Like I can get more than SWAT player of the year.
Let's look at buddy from Howard. What, Blake Harper?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just signed with Clutch Sports. He's definitely finna go get a bag and go play Power 4. He could probably go somewhere pretty big.
Honestly. That's just how the dice rolls. So
absolutely.
I seen a list on a draft account I follow on Twitter. Shout out to NBA Draft Point on Twitter. He has him, Blake Harper, in his top three prospects in the portal right now.
Oh, I thought you might say.
No, not top three prospects in the next class, but top three prospects in the portal right now, which is a pretty big deal coming from HBCU.
That's respectable.
Right? Yeah, I mean, if you put on a phenomenal season, if you're able to be lucky enough to do that, then more often than not, your next step is probably looking elsewhere to see what else you can do. And it's kind of unfortunate, but it's the way it's lined up now.
So my next question to you is, and we'll touch on this when we get to the Juju Watkins point of it all, but could you see players in high school who know they're not going to get as much of an opportunity to play at the Illinois, the Dukes, the Michigan States, and go smaller and then work their way up and work their bag up, you know, right. Get paid.
Yeah. It'll almost be like going to a mid-major school is how some people view going JUCO.
Absolutely.
Like, I'll go to this mid-major school, I'll go to a FAMU, get my swag player of the year, and then boom, now I'm on to the next. It's cool, but it takes away some of that. I'm going to sound like my dad when I say this, but it takes away some of that school spirit, bro. Like, you here for a year, and cool, you helped us get our first swag tournament win in the history of the program. And now you gone, like, you, I don't know how much of this matters for people, like walking into a stadium and seeing your number in the rafters, that's big, bro, no matter where you are. And you can't do, I don't care what type of season you have, you don't do that in 1 year. You do that through multiple campaigns of success. And
so you saying more so the name that you get from the school, like, so if Sterling were to stay, you know, building more stats, that name he would get by having his jersey in the rafters is bigger than the name he would build somewhere else.
Maybe not necessarily bigger, but it's still possible. I don't care where you are. If you make noise, you make noise. You're going to get eyes on you.
And I think people don't realize how big of a name that FAMU is.
Oh, it is.
I think just being a regular student, and we can see, you know, the bigger picture, rather than just being an athlete and you have practice, you can't really go to all the outside events. I think it put it in perspective for us that FAMU is actually like a big name around the world. So I don't know if that was me, you know, obviously my goal was to, you know, play at UCF, you know, local hometown, you know, play 2 years,
yeah,
go to the league. But, you know, speaking of UCF, you know, Mikey Williams, he's into the portal. What y'all think about him coming to FAMU? Like, that's a possibility.
I wish I could pull up a cricket sound effect fast enough.
He come to FAMU, man.
It's going to be turning for sure.
Leave it alone.
He go to FAMU, we're going to the tournament.
Pause is going to be the basketball games will have more attendance. That's what I'm saying.
And that's what coach want.
Yeah.
If he does come back, Mikey Williams should be his first
call. He's a star.
But let's be realistic, though. Like, you think Mikey's entering the transfer portal to come here? Like, you think he's doing it for minutes?
What do you think he's going? What do you think? Yes.
I'm asking. I'm just saying. Like,
Mikey's one of those guys. He's a bad kind of guy. You know, he wants to post his highlights, you know, overtime, stuff like that. So
he definitely
wants the ball in his hands, and I think FAMU will be a good place for him. Like, not talking as a FAMU student, but as an analyst, yeah, come to FAMU, you'll get 20 shots a game.
Facts.
Mikey playing at the HBCU. I would have never guessed that, though. I would have never, well, not guessed, but thought that beforehand.
I don't want to get too, because
that's where he should have went after he couldn't play at Memphis. But instead he went to
UCF. I agree. I'm just saying, I just would have never thought that when I was first hearing his name.
We was all supposed to do that, bro. Like, imagine if Deion and them all stayed at JSU. Imagine what that would have did for just if our top athletes went to HBCUs and put that money into HBCUs and all that revenue stayed with HBCUs. Imagine what that would do. If I was in that position, I'm going to an HBCU and I'm riding out my entire time there. You know I'm nice. I don't care who I'm playing against. I'm coming to your combine or my pro day is going to be like, and then what? You don't have to look at me because I'm me. I'm Travis Hunter.
So you think Travis and Shador would still be looked at as a top or two of the top 20 players in the draft?
No, I don't think so. I can't say that. I see what you're saying. I see what you're getting at. Like, in terms of just the top prospects.
Yeah, you know who you are. But do you think Mel Kiper knows who you are?
They know who I am.
Mel Kiper not checking for Jackson State.
They knew who I was coming out of high school.
That's cool enough, but it's more so they recruit based off competition. Like, they want to know.
Absolutely, but if that's the case, then Shannon Sharp wouldn't have been who he became.
That was the 70s and the 80s. The 80s, my fault.
Not that 70s and the 80s.
I think there's just like I said, there's more opportunity if you look elsewhere. Even if you have a big name, a lot of people don't know this, but Mikey Williams did talk about in high school the potential of him going to HBCU. And I said back then, he's not going to do that realistically. If he wants to like make the league and be one of the top prospects, he's not going to do that. It's unfortunate. Yeah. We have to be realistic.
No. I don't. This is my last point on it. I'm not trying to make a political show. I'm saying that's more of like a individualistic perspective on it, and saying I'm going to do what's best for Elijah Lott, as opposed to I am Elijah Lott, a black athlete who is going to collectively, I'm not going to be the only person doing this, but I'm going to encourage other top black athletes to go to HBCUs, and we are going to collectively put money into HBCU's pockets and put the power back into the black schools.
I feel where he's coming from. I feel exactly where he's coming from. I just think it too,
but
it's just it's unfortunately unrealistic.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get to the league.
Yeah.
I ain't getting to the league.
We can all do it together because
we're not going to the league. If Travis plays at
JSU and then another big player plays at FAM and another, you understand what I'm saying?
Juju Lewis coming to FAMU?
But I'm saying, if that happens, right, now the SWAC is competition. You understand what I'm saying? If we all go to the SWAC, you can't say I'm not playing against nobody.
I guarantee you that's just not going to happen, because there's athletes and the athletes' parents who are like, yeah, they can have that, but we're gonna go play for Alabama. But,
no, I feel you. I'm just saying, I wish we were more united as
a
people.
Also, that bag. Don't forget bag. That. You're not getting that coming here.
But no, for sure.
Let's speaking of bags, you know, one of the toughest hoopers in women's basketball, Juju Watkins, went down with an ACL injury.
I fell to my knees.
And
no pun intended.
Right. We all had high hopes for, you know, USC this season. Juju, the ACL injury is going to be, you know, I was initially saying, you know, an 8 to 10 month injury. But, you know, after talking to Professor Fowler, you know, he gave me a reality check. It's probably going to be like a 12 to 18 month recovery.
Jesus.
She probably might not play next year. So what does that do for the USC basketball team? And what does that do for her future for the WNBA? Does she decide to, you know, just sit out the entire next year and then play 2 more years of college basketball? Or does she not play at all, play 1 more year, go to the league?
I say not play at all in 1 more year and go to the league. I think it's not a career-ending moment, but a career-defining moment for her. And I think just thinking that way, just play the safest way you can.
So what would be the benefit of her just playing 1 more year of college basketball and then going to the league if she's already making more money than, you know, the hoopers in the W?
That part, that's why it's like, I guess that goes to her, like what her idea. If the goal is the league, like, you know, I know the money's already there, I get that. But like, if the goal is the league,
probably more than WNBA right now.
But if the goal is the league, just to say, hey, I made it to the league. If that's her goals and her, like, where she's coming from, then I say, you know, sit out, play that one extra year. But if the goal is just you don't play basketball, you know your name, you know, like, the money you got. Sure, you know, you can risk it if that's where you're coming from. But
yeah, it's really all about her priorities for real. Like, what matters to her? Does she want to like solidify herself being a legend at USC, winning a chip there, or does she just care about going to the WNBA? Like, it really is up to her. So with her, she gonna be straight. I don't think that this is career ending for her at all. Take all the time you need in rehab. She's not like the most obvious example is like a Derrick Rose, where your game is all athleticism. Like, she has a bag, she can really shoot, she can still get to her shots without being as explosive as she was.
Yeah, she like me for real.
Okay, brother. Yeah, so she can still do whatever she need to do. Now, in terms of, like, USC.
Yams, collard greens, mac and cheese, cornbread.
They're cooked. They're out of there. Yeah, time to look in the portal. Go ahead and book y'all flights for wherever y'all want to go. take off this next semester. Oh, and summer semester coming up. Yeah, they straight. Yeah, this season is done. Probably the next season too. It's really unfortunate for them, but no Juju. Yeah, it's looking.
I think
it's not as. Oh, my fault, Justin. You go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think USC could stay afloat. Like, I think they have some good coach and quality players, Kiki Ariofen, who can keep them afloat during the time. As far as Juju though, I definitely agree it's more so career defining. She returns to college for 1 year to me just to kind of prove like, hey, this injury I rehabbed, I recovered off of it. I still got game. I can still play. It kind of reminds me of Paige Beckers, who went down you know, a little earlier in her career in college too. I feel like Juju was the type of prospect last year who, I mean, I don't know about everybody else, I kind of looked at her who I was like, she could have came out last year. If, you know, she had the option to, she could have came out last year and would have been fine. So at this point, I think it's just more so about her having a safe recovery. I wouldn't play next season. I wouldn't try and get back out there next year.
Yeah.
Just having a safe recovery, safe rehab, and then putting it on the line for that final season for her and then taking it to the league.
So this is my question for you. Would you say that that's a risk that she would? Is that a risk worth taking, coming back and doing that final season?
At USC?
Yeah.
No, nothing's a risk when you're making money, if I'm being honest.
I feel you, but when I say like, draft stock in terms of like she's off her
she's
name
going
she
be the, she's gonna be the number one pick regardless of what year she comes out.
But God forbid what if there's like a huge drop off in her game, like she's nowhere near the same?
That's just not realistic.
I think it's,
we've never seen her be injured like this before.
I feel like even though her name could have carried her to be the number one pick, now there is a huge concern there. Like,
exactly,
there's a huge red flag there that very clearly was not there before. So where she could have been the number one pick in any class, I don't know if that's true anymore. I don't know if just because people see a couple clips of her in an empty gym getting some shots up and the handle looks nice and she looks like she's moving well again, that it's going to convince them like that ACL isn't going to be a concern.
And what I'm saying is I would rather have that uncertainty than she's averaging 12 points per game this season. You know what
I think at least if you see her come back and she's like, you know, she has a little bit of rust on the court. At least you get to see how she moves, how she's able to handle playing against top competition again, how she's able to function on the court off of that injury. And that's less of a concern for you going into the season, even if the production drops off a little bit.
For sure. But prayers up to her. Big fan of her on and off the court.
I will add this last point. Freshman Kennedy Smith at USC. This is a moment for her to, you know, step in, get a bulk of the buckets that, you know, Juju's leaving due to the injury. So I think USC could probably win. They could probably win two more games. If I was a betting man, would I bet that? Maybe.
They play UConn next, right?
They play UConn? I thought it was Kansas State. I think it's Kansas State.
Yeah, it's Kansas State.
Yep.
Okay. Kansas State, yeah. I think they can definitely beat Kansas State. But on to our next topic.
You have to find a transition. You couldn't get there.
Nah, somebody called me. But on to our next topic, NCAA men's basketball. It's March. March Madness, round of 32 thoughts. Let's go. EJ?
I'm just going to start with Duke. I don't care. They look dominant. I think this is their tournament to lose at this point. That's just what I think. Like, I think while it's maybe wild to say, UConn was like the only team I thought, like, because of their experience, might have like pulled an upset on Duke.
Yeah.
But UConn's out of it now.
Right. And a guy named Walter put him out. His name's Walter Clayton Jr.
Look, Florida, I'm going to give Florida their flowers, but I just think this is Duke's tournament to lose now.
No, definitely. Duke looks like the most complete team in the tournament by far. Yeah. Positions 1-5. They just look they remind me of the Golden State Warriors in 2017. It's like you look at them and you're like, dang. No,
in the college perspective, it's nothing
that we can do.
Like, if it was a video game for them, that team would be the team that everyone plays like, oh my gosh, you got to play the Duke. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Or they'll be the team that you can't play as.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was honestly surprised that there weren't more upsets this year. I think if there was a year for people to have like as close to a perfect bracket as possible, it probably would have been this year.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So I was surprised that just of the lack of updates, but I definitely agree that Duke to me is one of the more complete rosters I've probably seen in a long time, like in a very long time.
Y'all hit the nail on the head, bro. Duke's been looking really good. This is not just me being a homer, but Florida looks great. I would love to see them play each other.
Championship game right there. I don't see nobody beating them too.
Honestly, I really, I'm with you on that.
I mean, I'll throw this out there just because St. John's losing. That kind of, you know, I don't know. I
my bracket was already busted by that time. But then to put the cherry on top, like. See,
they just go out.
Patino, and Cal's my guy. Cal is probably my favorite college basketball coach because he relies on the young guys and he's a master recruiter. But
I was just surprised to see
Patino,
that.
Patino, like, this is supposed to be your year.
Yeah, man. We were talking about him earlier, too, right? We were just talking about them earlier. Yes. Like, and then I was in Alabama with the softball team. I just get a notification. They lost. I'm like, huh?
And I'm not even mad. And I'm not even mad about the benching that he benched RJ Lewis with, like, the final 5 or 6 minutes left.
Yeah.
Because he was playing abysmal. And then he took a dumb shot. He took a dumb shot with, like, 6 minutes remaining. And it was like, that was unnecessary. So I understand it. But, I mean, I don't think that'll steer players from not playing for him.
Nah.
So,
nah.
I mean,
it's just surprising, especially like round of 32 loss. Like, I expected them to go out in like a great game against a top tier team.
But Arkansas, I think they're Elite Eight bound. I think it can be Texas Tech.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I do want to say this. Last podcast, I spoke about a team, Alabama, who I thought could end up being a little bit overrated in this tournament. And they were shaking a little bit. They're definitely shaking when they went to play Robert Morris. They found a way to win the game. They had a good bounce back performance as well. I'm just curious to see what that team is going to be for the rest of the tournament.
They're going to run into a juggernaut. Not in the Sweet 16, but in the Elite Eight. They're going to have to play Duke. They're not going to get dismantled.
I don't really see that being a close game. I don't. Because Duke versus Auburn wasn't extremely close.
I don't look at that game too much because it was early on.
It was early on in the season, but yeah.
But yeah, Duke's gonna like. Whew.
I hope they don't embarrass him.
They're gonna do some things I can't say on the pod. Like, this is gonna be like, my gosh, can we like? Is there a mercy rule? And Nate Oates is one of my favorite coaches as well, but I don't know. I don't think this team was built to win in March.
But good point. Because honestly, expect they weren't built to win in March. So boom, when you look at a team like Alabama, right, who gave good SEC teams a run for their money or even beat them a couple times in the regular season, if Duke goes out and does unspeakable things to them, and you remember, ooh, yeah, we did lose to them week four, that might put a little extra fear in your heart, depending on, you know, what kind of guys you have. So I hope it's a close one for Florida's sake, so it's not something that you could like, ooh, yeah, we can't do nothing with them boys. Like, yeah, hopefully it's competitive.
Yeah, but speaking of, we haven't spoken on this team yet, Maryland. You guys think they can, you know, are they a legit contender and can they upset Florida?
Bruh, y'all talk for a second.
I think Maryland can upset Florida. I think Maryland has a good four guys who can get production.
The Crab Five.
Hey.
That's what they calling them, the Crab Five.
The Crab Five? I love that.
Crab Five finna get a seafood boil at the crib.
And I think Derek Queen definitely he's one of my favorite prospects in this class.
Top five.
I don't know if I can throw a top five out there because I think the defensive concerns are real. But his movement on the offensive end is insane. Footwork, uncanny. Touch around the rim, amazing. If he was just maybe 2 inches taller, I mean, I think he probably might go above Common.
Don't let him fall to the Magic in the draft. That's what I'm saying. You let him fall to Orlando.
But I mean, that's
kiss it goodbye.
That's a stud right there, and I think that him. With him, they have a chance.
In Orlando?
No. I guess Florida.
I think Florida's gonna like win the game and dominate, but it's not gonna look like a domination. I think Maryland and their starting five will hoop, but it's just Florida is like right there with Duke. When you watch them play, it's like those are the two best teams in basketball. So I think Florida will, you know, dismantle them. But I think Maryland and Derek Quinn, they'll have a good game. His draft stock will probably continue to rise. He'll probably have another great performance. But I think it ends here against Florida.
Yeah, we not losing to Jit, bro. I forget his name, but Jit who hit the game winner for them, he looked like a...
Derek Queen?
Yeah, Derek Queen. Now, I remember his name. I forget the Fat Albert character he looked like, but he looked like a character off of Fat Albert. We not going home to Buddy. They not doing that twice. No, sir. No disrespect to him. You cold, but you got to, like... put your bottom lip in your mouth.
If they were to lose, like if Florida were to lose, what do you think would be like the biggest factor in that?
I couldn't even tell you because I don't see us losing.
Our big men. Because I think Condon, he's been slipping a little bit lately. He's back in that midseason slump that he had earlier on in the season. Haw's good, but again, I think when it comes to the front court, if our front court is on, then we can match up with Maryland's front court. But if not, then Derrick Queen's going to have himself a day. Baby yoke.
But I just see us overwhelming them in the shooting department.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't think they could, like, if we come out and just start hitting, I don't see them Walter. Being able to. Yeah, real rap. Jit come out and hit 2-3 threes. Don't let him be in a row. Yeah, it's over.
He's doing stuff that Steph did in March.
Whew. Yeah.
But if y'all come out slow on offense, though.
Yeah, Jit might have a day. Jit might have a day. I don't see us losing to them, though.
But Dan Hurley made some news this past weekend.
Made a lot of news.
I'm not mad at him, though.
Thoughts on the loss and how he addressed it? Like, what do y'all think about it? Y'all think it was out of character, out of pocket? You think he did the right thing?
I want to hear how you not mad at it.
I'm not mad at it. I think
me either.
Yeah, I mean, like, bro, like,
show me somebody who likes losing.
You don't have to like losing.
I just.
You don't have to like losing.
I'm just right. Put it like this. Well, I mean,
well, we gonna talk about liking losing later. Capture the flag.
It's hard to justify. I would see more so why. I just want to know more so why it's like him acting like that is such a bad thing. I mean, like they lost, and this is a team that went back to back. And as he put it, they had gone so many games without losing in the tournament.
13.
So like 13 straight games without losing. It's like. That's different.
They forget what that is.
And it's like, I get his reaction. I get his emotion. And I feel like that emotion is something that shows the type of program he built, how much he cares about his team and his players, he was.
Dan Hurley is 52 years old. You lose a game, you cussing people out, telling people to shut up, telling people that are on your payroll, shut up within earshot of people. Like, come on, bro. Like, you got literal teenagers on your team that are more mature and coping with this better than you are.
I don't think it's a maturity thing, though. I think it's just...
Absolutely.
He just love a game.
I can love a game and be passionate about this later when it's only us in this room talking.
No, but when you're passionate about something, you need somebody to actually see how passionate you are so they can start being passionate.
No, that's a facade. That's a show. No. I want to show y'all that I'm passionate about this. No, this hurts.
I mean, I have a comparison, but it's a football related. Sure. I think a lot of people call A.J. Brown a diva for how he acts on the field. A lot of people talk about this or that. Players do that and still proceed.
Antonio?
No, yeah. A.J. Brown.
Oh, I thought you said Adrian. I'm talking about Adrian Brown.
Yeah, I'm just talking about in general. Yeah. Like, players do that. Like, that's a part of the game.
That's not mature to me. I'm sorry.
It might not be mature, but it's part of the game.
It's not a part of the game. It's a team sport. I'm a Jaguar. I'm a Jaguars fan. And Commanders.
How many rings they got?
Commanders?
Nah, Jacksonville.
Chill on that.
All right, AJ Brown got more rings than us.
I'm just saying that's part of the game. That's
what
all the
are talking about?
The point was it's part of the game. Like I can't fault someone for showing emotion through a game. I mean, all that can be apologized for after, but like when you care about the game, you care about the game. That's what builds team culture. Like
absolutely.
When you show that emotion, you express that. Like, hey, I remember what it was like when we lost. I remember that feeling. I remember how I acted. We don't want to
feel that again.
We don't want to feel that. Like,
for sure. Like, but it's ways and outlets that you do that, especially as a leader of men. You don't walk off the court telling someone, I hope they don't F y'all like they did us. That's not taking accountability. That's the refs F'd us. When he was talking to Baylor, he was walking off the court and Baylor was about to go play Duke. I hope they don't F y'all like they did us. That's not accountability. That's not leadership. You 52 years old. You just lost a game. Someone said, I hope they don't. Like, no, bro. You're a leader of men. Don't walk off the I hope they don't. Like, bro, what are we talking about?
What do you mean?
You screaming and yelling at people. That's something you say when you go into the locker room. They missed some calls, whatever. But we could have hit more shots. Bro, take accountability. You're a leader. You cussing and crying. Like, ain't nothing wrong with crying. That's passion. That's emotion. I got you. It's okay to be emotional in the post game, but I don't care for that. As a leader, it's just a certain way you present yourself.
This is the reason I disagree, is because you caught that man in the moment right after you lose a game. He's walking after the court after a obviously frustrating loss right after you lose a game. Like, of course there's going to be some frustration there. Now, if you want to say the way that he acted in the locker room was out of pocket, sure, fine. I personally feel like you can't have it both ways. You can't say that we don't want our coach to just have coach speak and just give these generic terms, these buzzwords, but we also don't want him to show too much emotion, so they have to operate within this gray line.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying be present as a coach when he, bro, you coming through the tunnel. You know his camera's right there, bro.
As a player, what would you respect more? Being presentable to the camera or being raw with me as a player?
Be raw with me as a player.
Okay, so do you not feel like he's being raw with him as a player?
Be raw with me as a player and wait 10 more seconds until we get into this room and you can say however you want to feel.
Was it 10 seconds? We don't really know that.
I don't know how long the tunnel was. I say 30. These are all tall people. They play basketball. They got long strides.
I feel like you're focusing more so on professionalism. I feel like you...
Absolutely.
But it's like... Part of me feels like that professionalism is like... Cameras are everywhere, dog. Like when you're an athlete and like you're a part of a program like that...
Yeah.
Part of that goes out the window when it comes to like coming out the locker room or after a tough loss, like things like that. Like, cause I've been in those situations. Raw emotion gonna come out. I'm not gonna hold back my raw emotion for the cameras. That's me being fake. I'm not gonna do that. And players, this happens in every single sport. Players curse during interviews. Players curse after wins.
Yeah.
Players, cause we're happy, we're excited, we're sad. I'm not gonna sugarcoat my emotion from this game I just played for cameras, cause that's their job. That's your job to record and get any content. That's you.
Yeah.
Right now, I just suffered a bad loss, and this is how I feel. I'm going to show my players and staff how I feel about this loss, because the next time we're here, I want y'all to remember this.
All right. I found a quote earlier, and it kind of gives way to what I'm speaking on specifically. I feel like he's more of a... I don't want to go too crazy and call him like a psychopath or anything like that. But I definitely do think that he has like ego issues, and he talked about it in one of his post game pressers. He was basically saying after winning two consecutive chips, he felt like his ego got in the way, and he said you just get caught up in the tidal wave of success that we've had. You lose perspective. You struggle with ego at times because you've been on this incredible run. It'll be nice to get a normal offseason and just get back to myself as a coach, not have to throw out first pitches. You should only be ringing stock market bells and throwing out first pitches when you win major championships. Listen to what he focused on right now. I feel like he more so cares about like spotlight and the recognition of being a coach that three-peated and stuff like that, and what comes after three-peating, as opposed to like, I don't know what he said to the players in the locker room, but especially as a coach, it's a way that you present yourself and it's a way that you conduct yourself, especially after. If I'm a player and I see my coach crashing out like that, that's not a good sign. That's supposed to be my leader. I'm supposed to follow off of him. If I see him cussing out officials and cussing out coaches, no, that you set the tone for everybody else. So if I see you cuss him out, that means I can cuss him out. You know what I'm saying? Am I tweaking?
I think it's okay for coaches to have multiple sides to them and not try and mask it for the media. Listen, I'm an Alabama fan who got to watch Nick Saban, the greatest coach of all time,
it was crazy,
behave in front of the media for over a decade.
Yeah.
And there were times where he held back. He kept himself together. Mm-hmm. He was very upright, and there were also times where he was just very straightforward, very blunt about the way he felt his players were performing, mm-hmm. the way he felt about his program, and the way he mm-hmm. felt that the NCAA operated in times too. So I think that it's okay for coaches to show multiple sides.
But I think it's a little different because you're talking about literally probably the greatest coach of all time. So you kind of earn yourself some leeway with that, and you have like your own aura about yourself where who I have been so successful, not to discredit Dan Hurley, great coach, but I have been so successful that I have earned myself this. I can cuss out the press room real quick because y'all asking me these stupid questions and I'm upset about the game, whatever. It's just different. As a leader, you got to carry yourself a certain way because you're leading young men who are in college and they're looking for guidance from you. You recruited them to lead them. And now that's just not the way that you respond to me. I'm done being an old guy on the porch for now.
Interesting. Very interesting perspective.
Yeah.
Now, let's move on to our Sweet 16 pick. EJ? All
right. So, first game, give me Michigan. Yeah.
Okay.
He said it's strong.
So yeah. Ole Miss or Michigan State?
Michigan State.
Arkansas or Texas State?
Arkansas.
Maryland or Florida?
Florida.
Arizona or Duke?
Duke.
BYU or Alabama?
Bama.
Kentucky or Tennessee?
Kentucky, actually.
Purdue or Houston? Houston?
Yeah.
Elijah, Purdue or Houston?
Houston.
Tennessee or Kentucky?
Kentucky.
Bama or BYU?
Bama.
Arizona or Duke?
Duke.
Maryland or Florida?
Florida.
Arkansas or Texas Tech?
I gotta sit with that one for a second. That's kind of like the only toss-up for me. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, probably Texas Tech, but I see that being a little bit closer than people think. Okay. Than people might think.
Okay, Ole Miss or Michigan State?
Michigan State.
Michigan or Auburn?
Auburn, but it's gonna be close. It's gonna be fun.
Justin, Michigan or Auburn?
War Eagle.
Ole Miss. Aren't you a Bama fan?
That was crazy to say out loud.
Just said Auburn, but War Eagle is crazy. Hey, somebody clip that.
Ole Miss or Michigan State?
Michigan State.
Maryland or Florida?
Maryland.
Arizona or Duke?
Duke.
BYU or Bama?
BYU.
Kentucky or Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Purdue or Houston?
Houston.
All right. I'm going Houston over Purdue. Tennessee over Kentucky. Bama over BYU. Duke over Arizona. Florida over Maryland, Arkansas over Texas Tech, Michigan State over Ole Miss, and Auburn over Michigan. Those are our Sweet 16 picks, fellas. Now on to the MLB. Opening day is March 27th. That is in 2 days. Teams are ramping up for another season. What are some storylines that you guys are personally keeping up with?
You can go first.
I hate to be a homer here, but I'm very interested in Ronald Acuña's return to the Braves.
Okay.
2 years ago, I know they had one of the top offenses in baseball. And last year, they struggled because of a lot of injuries, inconsistencies in the lineup. You get him back. I'm interested to see what this offense can be for them this year. And I think they have a chance. I'm not going to say it's championship or bust, but I do think this team is a very real championship contender. And it's going to be exciting to see them return as that.
I love to be a homer here. Because I saw the face you made about the Commanders. I'm a regional Washington guy. So and especially during that RG3 run, I was the biggest Redskins fan ever. So I'm also a Nationals fan too. I would just love to see not necessarily the turnaround, because it wasn't a terrible season last year for the Nationals, but I would love to see what direction we go in this upcoming year, because our championship wasn't that long ago. And to see kind of how we fell off recently, slightly disappointing. So I want to see how we turn it around, because a lot of the guys from that team are gone. So what have we done to change and improve?
I'm just looking forward to seeing the Mets. When they got Juan Soto, I feel like they became somewhat of a contending team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be interesting. Just, you know, New York baseball is back. That's the best way I can put it. It's interesting to see that.
My storyline is going to be Cam Smith. He was a prospect that was traded to the Astros for Kyle Tucker, you know, perennial all-star. And he's only played 32 minor league games. And he has never started in a majors game. And he's already an opening day starter.
It must be nice.
Definitely. He's in 38 at-bats during spring training for the Astros. He has four home runs, 13 hits, 8 runs, 11 runs batted in, and he has a OPS of 1130.
What's his name again?
Cam Smith.
Cam Smith, jit, nice.
Definitely. So
I need to start. I got to look out for
becoming
him.
An opening day starter after only playing 32 games in the minor league is definitely impressive. Also, you know, obviously Paul Skene's number one pick 2 years ago, opening day starter.
Top three pitcher in the league right now, too.
100%, no shocker. some other players to look out for, you know, some MVP contenders, obviously Shohei Ohtani, Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt. So we got some guys in there that could definitely make an MVP run. Obviously my guy, Fernando Tatis Jr. But outside of the ones you guys named, are there any other storylines that you're following headed into the season?
What's his name? Ooh, what's his name from the Marlins? Black player.
If you're talking about Jazz, he's not there no more.
He played for the Yankees.
Yeah, he's not there. Oh,
he got traded. Cut that.
I knew as soon as he was saying it, too.
Jit was in a slump, though. I want to see how
he was just in the World Series.
I'm interested to
see. He personally was in a slump. I want to see if he come back.
I'm interested to see the Dodgers continue to, like, be this force in baseball. Or if other teams are able to give them a run for their money. Because last year, the convo was like, oh, it's so unfair. The Dodgers have assembled this Avengers squad. I'm able to see how, if that is able to stand the test of time this year, this season. Like you said, some new talent coming in the league, players returning from injury.
Okay. Now to wrap up the MLB portion, let's briefly talk about some NFL. Top quarterback prospect Cam Ward had his pro day yesterday. And a lot of people are saying this is one of the best pro days they've seen with their own two eyes. Now, fellas, what are your thoughts on Cam Ward's pro day? And is it the best you've ever seen? Because I know Zach Wilson,
Yeah, I was going to say that's
Zach Wilson had a day.
I've seen some great pro days, but I'll give Cam Ward an A. Like, if I rated it, I'd give him an A. Because it was definitely solid enough to, I wouldn't be surprised if he was the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, he probably solidified that.
I think there was some toss-up before this pro day about where the Titans might go. Will they go Abdul Carter? Are they confident about getting a quarterback right now? I think now I can confidently see them getting a quarterback and getting Cam Ward number one. So I'll give him an A. I think he changed people's perspectives.
I think he did too. For a lot of teams, I don't know if they were going into the draft like it's quarterback or nothing. You know, like they had a lot, best player available, really. And there were some doubts if he was. I think he showed them enough that he could be the best player available in this draft. And that if you're a team who desperately needs a quarterback, you might want to swing now rather than later. Because he's a guy. He has a great arm. He proved that he can push it down the field a little bit more than people thought. We already knew his throwing angles and all that sort of stuff was excellent.
And he showed great athleticism, too. I'm not going to lie.
Right. We already knew that. Well, I didn't know that he can move like that.
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't know he can move like that.
I think that's what really was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know he can move like that. So that was impressive. But, yeah, I think he definitely put himself in a position where if you're a team who needs a quarterback,
like Tennessee,
you might as well just go now.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you think this pro day separated him
from Shador?
Even without seeing Shador's pro day, obviously.
But for right now, it's definitely separated. He's definitely the clear number one quarterback.
Because
I've definitely seen people talk about it, like who's a better quarterback. You know, he's been in those convos with Shador 1 and 2, but I think he's clear one.
Yeah, but this, to go back to your earlier question, this is not the best pro day ever. That Zach Wilson pro day is in the books. That's probably one of the best throws I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
That's going to really ruin the Jets' whole franchise.
Bro, that singular throw.
Nah, they're safe now. They got Justin Fields.
Yeah.
The guy they actually should have took that number.
Yeah, no, that's just crazy.
Right.
But now on to the hardwood. The NBA is heating up. Playoffs are right around the corner.
Don't even say
about,
a word.
About 3 weeks. Nah, y'all stink. But, some sportscasters have been calling the last few weeks. The last few weeks, some of the worst tank jobs, the Sixers, with Quentin Grimes, they've been winning some games, playing themselves out of lottery contention. Not lottery contention, but, they're supposed to have a top seven protected pick, but, since the recent games, they've been, winning. So that may not happen. They may not get that pick. What teams on the cusp of a play-in spot should just call it quits and tank or power through and make the play-in game?
I'm being honest. It's hard for me to think of teams that are on the cusp of a playing spot who should just call it quits. Because even a team like the Bulls, I think the Bulls have shown enough during the last few weeks that the guys they have on this roster could be core guys to work around. You have a guy like Kobe White, Matas Buzelis. Those guys on the roster, they could be guys you can work around and build something with in the future. And it's great to have Cooper Flagg to add along that, but I think that this class is deep enough to where maybe you end up at 5 and you're able to just take Vijay Edgecombe or something like that, or you're in a position where maybe Ace Bailey somehow drops and you're able to take him at 4 or 5 or something. There's a chance to do that. Or even if you get to 10, Derek Queen could fall to you at 10 and then you have a core of Kobe White, Derek Queen, Josh Giddey, Modest Bezelis. You have talent to work with. So right. Even a team like that, or even the Blazers, who have young talent littered all over the roster, who are just waiting for some of them to bust. If you have a chance to maybe get them guys some, okay. Whoa, pause.
I wish y'all could have saw the eye
contact that went around the room. Pause, that's crazy. What they waiting on? That was crazy. They're waiting for on them to explode, for lack of a better term. But you have guys littered all over the roster who could be something, and I don't necessarily think you have to press to get a Cooper Flag. And if you have a chance to maybe get those guys in the plane and see how they perform, and the lights are the brightest, and see what you're working with moving forward, that's great too, because for a lot of these teams you have next year anyways.
Well, I'm sorry, if I'm the Chicago Bulls, bro, I'm not enticed by Kobe White and Josh Giddey. I'm trying to get like a Trey Johnson and move them boys up out of there. But
why would you rather have Trey Johnson than Kobe White? Please explain.
I mean, he's younger, more years to develop.
He's younger. Kobe White is still in his 20s.
And Kobe's tough right now.
Like
Kobe
I said,
White
he's
is
younger.
Still in his 20s.
He's younger and still. Trey Johnson just won. Didn't Trey Johnson win SEC Freshman of the Year?
That's great.
I just don't know if Trey Johnson's
where they should start. I think they have bigger problems first.
Average 20 points. They definitely have bigger problems, but I'm just like throwing a name out there.
Yeah. 37, 36, 35, 24, 26. That is Kobe White's last 5 games in the league.
So what do you think the Bulls' biggest problem is?
I would say the Bulls' biggest problem is center. Yeah. The center position. And then you don't need to be in the top 5 to really get to
why would center be their biggest?
Because Vucevic has been on the team for way too long.
Vucevic is one of their best players. He's their second best player.
Yeah, but it's time for him to go.
He's not the type of defender they need for the roster. He's not the type of offensive player.
And you think Derek Queen is? And I'm a Derek Queen guy. You think he's the defender they need?
You're saying point. He's younger. He got time to develop.
Okay, that's fair. That's definitely fair. But I'm just saying, like, if I'm the Chicago Bulls, like, you're the Bulls. You're in a big market. Go get a bigger name. And drafting one of those guys in the top 5 or let's say you lose a lot more games, you get to the top 5, you get a Jeremiah Fears, who's that's going to bring heads to the
they need more shooters, they need more people that can chuck the ball.
It's a name, and it'll bring people to the arena, especially if you're the Chicago Bulls.
No, I agree with Trim in the, at least that aspect. I think the Bulls is the
like
team
that's
that
a
could,
like a marketing yeah. aspect. Yes, that you get a Jace Richardson, who's the son of an NBA player.
But I say that more so because of the Bulls, like, last couple of years. They've been in the same spot for the last
exactly.
3 years.
It hasn't gone nowhere. But I wouldn't even choose the Bulls. I would choose the Miami Heat because outside of...
We need to capture the flag, and we're going to do it unintentionally.
Like,
we're going to try and win games.
There's nobody
like
on that team that, like, I'm like, okay, yeah, we can build around him. Tyler Hero, I'm sorry. Let's just look at the numbers. I mean, not look at the numbers, but let's look at history.
Yeah, you look at the numbers.
When has a white player been the central piece of an NBA team?
Yo.
Luka?
No. American-born white player. Exactly. And
Don't let me get to thinking. If we want to talk about it, why capture the flag? He's a crap.
I'm saying, though. I don't think the Heat would get to one.
No.
But could you go get VJ Edgecombe?
And that would definitely help.
Or
that,
could you go get
team.
Ace? I mean, not Ace Bailey. Dylan Harper?
Oh, my God. Ace Bailey would survive. But, yeah.
Harper at the one.
You're not wrong.
Tyler at the two.
That's a solid.
Bam at the four. Ware at the five.
And then, definitely tanking.
Other way.
And then, tanking for
tanking for a point guard would definitely be ideal for the Heat.
Like, I think Miami's probably the best, the most ideal team to, like, just call it quits. You're not winning anything.
We gonna get that fourth or fifth pick, and we not gonna try. We are going to really try and win games and just not be good enough and get that fourth or fifth.
Here's my thing, though. You're saying getting a point guard would be ideal and tanking, but I mean, they're not really trying to tank. They're in a position to get Jeremiah Fears, and if they fall back further, they'll get Jace Richardson. Yeah. And if they fall back further, then you have a chance. I don't see them falling back any further either. But there's enough.
You're talking about where they are right now. They could have got somebody.
Where they are right now, they're projected to get Jeremiah Fears.
not bad at all. I would be happy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the thing. They're technically not tanking, but they're tanking. That's why it's tough to say the Heat.
Yeah, take it.
I would just say a team. So if I'm talking about a team, the team I would have said, but I don't know if Cooper Flagg is the exact ideal fit for this team, but the Mavericks, simply because...
What do you mean is he not the ideal fit? It's Cooper Flagg.
Well, obviously he's ideal fit anywhere. I'm talking about... Well, then I'll change it. I'll say this because they already have so many bigs. That's what I was saying.
He's a three.
He can play a three.
But that's a big three, though, you know?
Put 80 at the four, then got D Live at the five. That's a team. That's a team that's going to win the championship next year.
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I think the Mavericks should tank and just give it. I mean, like, you can ideally be...
AD didn't get it.
You tank from here, you end up bottom three in the West. You got in the bottom three in the West and lottery end up with that first pick.
So Cooper Flagg is gonna hurt his toe and they're gonna trade him for Tyler Hero anyway. So it doesn't even matter, bro.
That's not, hey, we're not going there. I'm just saying the Mavericks have a chance to rebuild where they messed up. And I think, you know, that's the team I would pick to just start tanking.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, mine would be the Heat, but since we already said the Heat, would it even benefit the Suns to tank?
The Suns don't have a pick.
Don't think it's smart for the Suns to tank right now, because if you're trying to build a market, like Kevin Durant already has a market, obviously. But if you're trying to prove that, hey, this 37-year-old star can still be a player who can take you far in the postseason,
you gotta win.
The they're best way to do that win. Is just show it in the playoffs.
They're on a four-game win streak right now without Bradley Beal.
Build his value up.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
exactly. He stinks. Like, legit.
Jit need to get back on the floor.
But what about San Antonio? They got the rookie of the year.
They right there.
They got Victor Wembanyama.
I wouldn't be mad at it. I just
like what player would you want them like to ideally take in the draft?
Oh, for them to take it?
Cause I'm looking at a guy like.
Cause I don't want any guard that's gonna mess up Castle's development.
Castle plays the one or the two. Or the three.
He's so versatile. You really don't know.
I'll say two more so. Because with De'Aaron Fox at the one,
I forgot they had D Fox.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You're not ready. You're not there. But you got so many storylines that you haven't seen develop yet.
What about Asa Noel? The play next to Wimby.
Yeah, that's what I'm
that's
saying.
Not bad.
Like,
it's not bad.
But like, you don't need to tank to do that. I don't think you need to. They already to tank pretty bad. True. That because even if you don't get him, then hey, Colin Murray Boyles.
Hooper. Interesting.
It's not a lot of teams that I think have to tank to get where they want to. I would just say, like, you know, the Wizards, Hornets,
no, they're,
Jazz.
They're,
like,
they
those
tanked.
Teams just suck
they're
already.
There.
So it's
they're
like,
there.
Flag is captured.
Hey, the flag.
They're there.
Mission is almost accomplished. You know what I'm saying?
They just need a couple of balls to go their way, like, and they got it.
Facts.
But moving on from the tank, we're like... a month removed from All-Star break. Which teams have been the most disappointing post All-Star break?
The Miami Heat.
Why? They traded.
It don't matter, bro.
They don't have their
Miami. You know why?
Did y'all
expect them to be better?
No, not better, but not.
I expected them to be better.
You have Andrew Wiggins scoring 40 points. You shouldn't expect no type of success from the Miami Heat.
I didn't say expect better.
You saw he was playing before he scored 40 points.
Wait, Trim. I didn't say expect better. I'm saying this team has blown so many leads in the fourth quarter, and this team is 1-9 in the last 10 games. With that's the worst in the league. Like, other than the Utah Jazz, they're 1-9 as well. But other than that, even the New Orleans Pelicans are 3-7 in the last 10 games.
This
like
is dark times.
Like, the Miami Heat are on a horrendous streak of just losing. It's like, even if you're not expecting to be, you know, a top 6 seeded team in the East, if that's not what you're going for, you fell all the way to the 10th seed.
Bro, one thing about the Heat organization, we're not going to go out there and just like, we're supposed to fight. We supposed to have fight and dignity and respect about ourselves. People looking at us like a guaranteed win now, bro. Like that's what I expected exactly. Better than
you know
that.
How much you know how hurt that is. We won last night or whatever we won when Wiggins dropped 42.
Wiggins dropped 40, I was
and
hyped.
I was over there like, oh my gosh, we won a game.
But then I looked at what it took. Andrew Wiggins had to remember he was an NBA player. Like it's so bad.
I would have never thought this would have been a Heat team. That's after the All-Star break. I thought it would have been basically like the Orlando Magic, like, you know, win every now and then.
No disrespect, a tier below the Orlando Magic.
I genuinely mean this. I thought we would have been just like y'all, like, you know,
just like y'all is crazy.
A mid team.
The Magic are tough.
They're a mid team.
Like, Paolo Banchero is averaging the third most points since the All-Star break.
Oh, he's, yeah, okay, 29.4. Your team is still mid.
Nah, cause
we're not mid. Oh, okay. We're just playing back into Yeah, you know, no,
injuries been.
Yeah, I'm sure there's reason. I'm just saying you're still mid, and that's where I thought we would be, but we're 30 and 41 right now.
Yeah, we're far from mid. We need help.
The most disappointing team to me has been the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, why?
It's over. It's over, y'all. Like, it's done. They have Doc Rivers as their coach, and I really could just stop right there. But this team just isn't deep enough. They don't have the defenders or the shooting on this roster to make it work. And also, they don't have the right duo, in my opinion. Mm. I think that Dame and Giannis are two great players, but the way that these two play off of each other is not going to work. I think, obviously, Dame's floor spacing, his ability to shoot the ball, is one of his key traits. But he doesn't have the same off-ball movement as a shooter like Steph Curry.
Right.
And for Giannis, obviously, he works better with players that, like, don't necessarily need the ball in their hands to score, which Dame needs.
A la Chris Middleton.
Yeah, a la Chris Middleton or Jrue Holiday. That was the best core that he had around him. Guys, who didn't need.
We got to hoop with Dame. We need to. I'm hitting the gym after this, please.
But I think Giannis, he's a type of guy who can hold the rock a little bit, who's going to take his time on the offensive end. But also, he's not a guy who's going to roll hard to the basket. And he's also not a guy who's going to be able to pop out and hit a jump shot anymore if you need. Mm-hmm. So I think that duo has just been underwhelming from that standpoint. And also Dame just aging and losing some of his athleticism. And this was a team that I thought I could see them rise up in the standings. And they dropped. They're now below the Pacers again. And it's like, they're in a position where if they lose Dame or Giannis, this is a team that to me is a first round out.
They're bottom
feeder again, easily. And even the top three teams in the Eastern Conference, I don't see them really pushing any. Well, first of all, the Celtics and the Cavs, I don't see them pushing that series to
they
six
might
games.
Get swept.
I think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep if they face either of those teams. Yeah. And then the Knicks, I could see them very easily getting dominated by the Knicks or losing to seven.
And I don't think they're giving the Pacers too many problems either, to be real with you.
I think the Pacers could very well take that series to seven if the Bucks didn't lose anybody.
Yeah. Not me personally, I think the Pacers are a better team than the Bucks. Like,
I would have to agree. I think they're a more complete roster.
Yeah.
That's a way more complete roster.
That's what I'm saying. Like, one through playoffs, you're running, what, eight, nine guys? I like the Pacers 8-9 over the Bucks 8-9. I think a big point that you brought up was Dame's loss of athleticism. That pick and roll is not nearly as scary as it once was. You don't really see Dame coming off the screen, going downhill. I'm not scared. I'm not telling my big to drop back for real. Like, yo, hedge that. Make him work. He's going to shoot a mid-range over a 7-footer. Okay, cool. I'm not really concerned about him coming downhill, and I'm not too concerned about Giannis shooting a three either. So you would think with Dame spacing and Giannis's dominance inside, you would think that would be a match made in heaven, but it's been nothing. But honestly, like, it's a cool idea. It's a cool, like, 2K team, but it's not been coming to fruition in real life.
I think with Dame, well, for Giannis, ideally you would need, like, a better playmaker alongside of him. Like, I feel like maybe this duo would be better if Dame was, like, the level or a little bit of the level of playmaker as Haliburton or something, which he's not. He's a serviceable playmaker, but that passing is just not the same. But for Dame, the duo worked better if Giannis was better in the pick and roll, if he was able to operate better as a rolling big man. Mm-hmm. And he's just not. That's not his play style. So,
which makes me scratch my head again about that Chris Middleton thing. What was the point? Like, they didn't want to pay him or something?
He was old and
injury prone.
But their goal is to still win, right?
Yeah, but
you weren't winning with him on the bench.
It's like, why would we have Chris Middleton when we can kind of move him and get multiple players to kind of
not necessarily loyalty standpoint, but, and then not even if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but like, I think we have a better chance of winning with Chris Middleton, who knows how to win and has a great relationship with Giannis. I like that over Kyle Kuzma. That's not a swap. That's not a pick and plug situation. You know what I'm saying? Maybe long term, I feel you, but while we still got Giannis here and in his prime, no, keep his guys that he's successful with here. That's my thought process on it.
Yeah. That's an interesting point of view. But the team I would go with, the Denver Nuggets. They're 500 since All-Star break. Drop games to the Bulls, the Trailblazers, the Wizards.
Yeah, that Wizards game was crazy.
Yeah, you like you can't lose to Washington two times. But like, no matter how good Jordan Poole is, you just can't do that.
Pool party.
Yeah, man. He drowning on y'all. Like, come on. Like,
exploding on him, man.
All right, yeah, that's where we wrap up the show.
Wait, but real talk, though, I'm surprised none of y'all said the Dallas Mavericks.
What are we like?
That's I would have been disappointed.
That's not disappointing.
Regardless.
I'm talking about like after All-Star break.
No,
I'm talking
just
about
like after disappointment in general. They traded Luka Doncic. If I'm like,
I think that's why they should be at the top, though. Like, in terms of, you made that decision to do that, to bring in AD, match up with Kyrie, and now both of them are not playing.
Yeah, because
I'm disappointed.
Well, I get that.
I'm disappointed in something when I expect something from you.
Exactly.
I didn't expect anything from them. So,
But I'm saying that from a standpoint of their organization, they expected something.
Yeah. If I'm being real, on the outside, looking in as a fan, this is about what I expected. Kyrie, 80, injury prone, both of them. We knew that going into this. We knew that they had injury concerns.
But Kyrie's playing the best basketball of his career.
I know as a fan, we see that. I'm talking about from an organization standpoint. Like, it's just disappointing. You made that move with the anticipation of it being something. Now you're not even in the play-in position.
You thought that they would still be in the playoff
position? Who's you? I don't believe that. I said they did that.
No, I'm saying, do you think that they made that move and thought that they would still be in?
Oh, yeah. Duh. You think...
Yeah, if they were both healthy, they would definitely be in the playoffs.
I'm saying, like, as an organization, he's asking me, do you think that they thought that when they made that move, they would still be in playoff position?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they won the casino.
I don't know.
I don't think basketball was thought about too much in that deal.
All right, fellas.
Conspiracies.
Now on, to the best part of the show, the shout-outs. You know, Paulo Banchero, head to the north. On an all-worldly tear.
He don't know you, bro.
But where are my manners? I'm sorry. First and foremost, got to thank my Lord and Savior. got to.
Just shout it out, Father, for God.
But without him, we wouldn't have Paulo Banchero. We wouldn't have Franz Wagner. It's like...
It's sick work, bro. It's sick work.
It's just God at this point. And it's just going to be God when we win a championship. But
hope y'all make it out the playlist.
But to continue, gotta thank my family. Love my family. Shout out to y'all. Hope I get this internship. We gotta just keep praying. Hope I get this internship.
Pray for you for sure.
Shout out P5.
Twice.
Yeah.
Shout him out twice.
You sandwiched it, bro. Yeah. You made Paulo your alpha and omega.
Yeah.
He's the beginning and the end.
Absolutely. He gonna bring us a chip.
Anyways, bro. Shout out to God. Shout out to graduation coming up. Shout out to my folks. Shout out to the guys in the studio. And shout out to y'all listening to the podcast. God bless y'all.
Shout out my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, first and foremost, before. Yep.
Paulo second.
He's not even. We're going to move on from that. Shout out Cadence and Kendall. I love y'all so much. Shout out J School. This weekend was amazing. This weekend was amazing. We finished the ACE Broadcast Journalism Bootcamp. Met some really great people who helped further me and my dreams in this career field. That was really cool. Oh, yeah, and the Be Out Day. That was really cool. I want to thank everybody who promoted that, everybody who helped put that together. That was a really big experience for me. Thank y'all so much. I opened up for Jacquees. That was hard. You know what I'm saying? So thank
congratulations, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks, man. Just FAMU is raw. This is a commercial. Come to FAMU. Shout out FAMU.
Shout out to the fam. I want to give a shout out to Austin and Jason. And I also want to give a shout out to my girlfriend. It was her birthday this weekend. We celebrated. She's 21 now. So shout out to you, my love.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to the FAMU softball team too.
Shout out to the Orlando Magic. Big shout out.
Shout out Asia Wilson.
Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WNM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.